Jesus wanted us to understand that you and I can be victorious through Him. Now, you're not going to make it on your own, folks. Now, don't you get cocky. Don't you get to thinking that you're so smart. Don't you get to thinking that you are going to be able to control your destiny. Boy, if that could ever happen, I feel sorry for your destiny. I feel sorry for you. What's going on with us and the peace that is within us? When I said yes to Jesus Christ, I got that peace. That peace that Jesus gave me, He said, that I will let my peace rest upon you, meaning stay. My peace is here. If you're not at peace, it's not me, says Jesus. It's you. You're the one with the problem. Call on my name. Mightily blessed America. Well, it's a blessing from God. I wish more people would see it that way. You want to play the games of life of the world, then you will reap the rewards of those games of the life of the world. I'm going to be like Randy now. Oh, gosh, I can't believe I said that one either. But I'm going to ask all to stand as I lead you in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. It is because in that pledge, one nation under God, that anyone would be able to make that pledge. If you think that America is unfair, there's 193 countries in this world, or there were according to yesterday. Actually, that does change according to what happens in Africa. The 193 countries, we're one. So you have 192 other countries you need to visit. You need to go check on if you think it's that bad in this country. But I want you to be at peace because everything has already been blessed for you in America. And God blessed it. God blesses America. And God continues to bless as long as the church that God established through His Son stands up for this nation and proclaims the truth that we are strong because of what He has done, not in our might. Oh, we're mighty. I cannot imagine any nation, even a few of them getting together, being more mightier than the United States of America. But you will not keep your freedom through might. You will keep your freedom based on the gift of Almighty God when God found favor in America. He favored America. God set us aside. America protects His people, Israel. God blesses America. You will continue to hear the cries coming from a world of individuals that have no concept of life itself and what people have given for this freedom. The truth of freedom is in the Lord's favor. Now, as long as I have the Lord's favor. Now, hear me. The Lord's favor rests upon me. God says in His holy word, touch not my anointed. Did you know you're anointed by God, Christian? You're anointed by God. That's how you got saved. Holy Spirit came in, convicted you, and you said, yes, Lord, you're anointed of God. And God says, touch not my anointed. All that goes into the preachers, that goes into the teachers, that goes into Christians. Listen to me. God warned in the Old Testament, touch not my anointed, meaning don't you mess with my prophets and don't you mess with my people. God still says that. And God's still in control. Jesus is reading from Isaiah. He goes into the temple. And many people then, the priest and all, thought Jesus was awesome. Man, that young man coming in here, he's pretty cool. He gets up. Something different about this man called Jesus. He gets up to start to speak. But do you know the mistake that they said that he made? He did not quote a Jewish scholar. He just stands up and gets to speaking. All the people, us normal folk, the people loved it because he was not referencing any other human being. And they said, he speaks like no other man we've ever heard before. This man, Jesus, he's different. Oh, was he different? Not only was he different, he makes a difference. He makes a difference in your life. You think the world's going to swallow you up? Tell Jesus on the world and watch what happens. There has never been a point in history when God's children called on God that He did not send whatever it took to bless His people. Sometimes He would take His people home. Then people look at it and say, look, those Christians died. Christians can't die, people. We have eternal life with Christ. But Jesus said it this way also. He says, you know, the world did not deserve the Spirit that was in those particular individuals. Think of that. And the Lord says, you've been in it enough. Come on home. See my glory. Live with my glory. Be a part of my glory. Because you're precious to me. You're precious, Christian. Non-Christian, you're precious to God. He's just giving you the opportunity to recognize precious. And as soon as you say yes to Jesus, you will feel that personal closeness. And as many Christians will say, well, I used to walk closer to the Lord. The Lord will not move. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not move. He loves me. He's not moving. All the enemies of the world come at you. I might try to move out of the way, but He ain't moving. So if I want to come to the battlefront, my job's to stand there. The Lord's already done His job. He makes you a winner. You can't do it. You will not pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Well, gosh, you'll break a boot. You can't do that. You are a spiritual being. You're not just a human being. You are a spiritual human being. God sees you and knows you by your spirit. When we lose a friend, when we lose a loved one, Do you not cling to the spirit of that individual? Is it not that spirit? You don't see them physically anymore. Don't you have that spirit? That's a gift from God, folks. Accept that. So Jesus is standing up reading. He's reading from Isaiah 61, verse 1. But I'm going to read Luke 4, 18 through 19, which is him reading that very scripture. You ready? As he stands to read, he's reading from Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." That's what Isaiah said. You ought to read Isaiah. "Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Good news to the poor. And people immediately think of those who don't have money. Good news to the poor in spirit. Good news to the poor in mind. Good news to the poor in physical strength. Good news to the poor in whatever will attack the human being. Good news! Because Jesus is on the scene. Ah, Jesus, the prophets had proclaimed he's coming. Jesus is coming here to let them know, "I'm here. It's me." They didn't like that. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." Prisoners. Those behind bars. Oh, listen to me, folks. There's a lot of people need to be locked up. A lot of people aren't locked up and need to be locked up. I vote for building a brand new prison just for politicians. I mean, there's a lot of that people that need to be locked up. That's not what he's talking about. And yet again, if you're locking up his children, God's been known to sort of rattle the cages of the jails and the locks fall open and the shackles fall off of his children and an angel come and said, "Come on, let's get out of here, boys." God's in control. Are you catching the point here? Okay, God said prisoners, recovery of sight, the prisoners of life, the prisoners of routinism or routine. Do you have a routine? Or you don't have such a hard time breaking this routine? Every morning I have to get up and I have to have about 3 cigarettes before I can even start. And your pastor would tell them, "Don't worry about that. You're not going to live that much longer to even have to worry about you keep doing that." You get me? We have a routine in life. We have favorite sins. Don't you look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. We have favorite sins. Now, all right, I'll do away with this, but I ain't doing away with my favorite one. I like it. Who do we worship? Who's in control of our life? Our routine? Our favorite sin? Our favorite evil thing? Who's in control of us? And yet God comes in, and through his patience, through his love, because you got to remember, did I not tell you at the beginning, you found favor in God. Do you think Mary, the mother of Jesus, was sinless? Now, I know there's a denomination that says that. I got news for you. There's only one that was ever sinless. His name is Jesus Christ. He's Lord of Lords, and his name is to be lifted above all names. But you know what Mary found? Well, the angel told her, "Mary, you have found favor with God." Favor with God. America, you have found favor with God. It's not the nation, it's the people God is a people person. God wants to become a part of who you are. And when you say yes to His Son, Jesus Christ, accepting Him as Lord and Savior, you have found favor with God. You see, you found favor when He even confronted you, convicted you of your sins. That's finding favor with God. You mean God knows when I sin? God knows you're a sinner. All right, now Christians, the ones that are too good to admit it, you're a sinner. And yes, you still commit sin because it's in your nature. Your whole life is battling the human nature and the spiritual calling from God. You spend your whole life doing it. And when I'm on my deathbed, I'll realize I couldn't do it. I will die physically in a human body, physically, sinning. God said, I know now that the heart of man is evil continually. The heart of man, not the heart of God. Don't catch me now. Come on. Hang with me here. Listen, when I said yes to Jesus, I got a new heartbeat. It's His. When this physical heart of mine ceases to pump, there's a spiritual heart, the heart of God that will beat within my spirit. I had a blood transfusion. The blood of Christ runs in my veins. Freedom is a gift from God. So Jesus continues to read. And recovery of sight for the blind. Well, okay, preacher, why aren't you out healing all the people that's blind? Not my calling. Do I believe that there's healing for the blind? Sure. That's the blind person who sees now, and they'll tell you. You got it? But don't you understand that when you're listening to the voice of God, He is speaking spiritually to you? Oh yes, He will touch the human body, and He did. But what's the most important part about who you are? Your spirit is really who you are. And many spirits are blinded. They're blinded of the truth of God and the power of God and the love of God. He said, I want to release the oppressed. Verse 19, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You and I have a hard time being faithful to God. That's because of this battle between the human part and the spiritual part. Right? Come on, shake your head at me. You might not supposed to sing or talk, but shake your head at me. Sure, you know exactly what I'm talking about. God loves me. Oh, here's one that somehow says something about, but it's fact. God loves me when I'm right, and God loves me when I'm wrong. God loves me. He knows my spirit. He knows my heart. I found favor with God, not because I'm faithful, but because of His faithfulness. It's His faithfulness, Brother Randy. Right. Jesus wants us to understand then, in this story, that He is your fulfillment. He is your fulfillment. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot pay your way into heaven. You can do nothing except fall at the foot of the cross and understand that Jesus Christ, the great I Am, is the fulfillment of your salvation. Not a nation, not any other man, but the man Jesus Christ. That's where a lot of people say the man in heaven. I don't like to hear that, but it is scriptural. Because the scripture says the man in heaven. The scripture uses it, meaning the God-man, Jesus. He's the only one, 100% God and 100% man. You got it? Luke 4, verse 21. This is right after he said this. He's closing the book. You got it? He closes the prophets. And then he said something that you talk about started the greatest of revolutions for the good. He began by saying to them, today, this scripture, the scripture Isaiah had read, this day, or said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He said, I'm the one Isaiah the prophet talked about. All from that point forward, they set into motion to kill Jesus. Is it not better for one man to die than for all to perish? The high priest said. In other words, for the good of the church, let's kill Jesus. I know, I learned it from seminary and all. I know that's a factual statement. Never dreamed I'd be witnessing it in so many churches in the United States of America. Kill Jesus for the good of the church. Bring in the world and people will flow in. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And they'll be saved. And you'll have those friends throughout eternity. Do it God's way. It's the only way that's going to get us through. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift our heart to You. We lift all that we are to You, Father. We thank You for the blessings, the joy of salvation, the love that You continue to give us as a nation. Bless our nation, Father. Give those of us who are called by Your name the holy boldness to stand strong in Your victory, in Your word, and Your path, and not give in to the ways of the world, nor allow it to overtake Your churches. Father, You have appointed pastors to guard the flock, to feed the flock, to love the flock, total protection. Help each of us who are pastors to protect our flock with Your truth, with Your food, with Your great love. God bless America again. Forgive us for our sin. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you who have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, but you know that He is speaking to your heart, you have my cell number. Call me. I'm allowed to talk to you over the cell phone. Nobody's caught COVID from it yet, I don't think. But I'll risk it to hear that voice say, I've accepted Jesus. Truly, give me a call. Let's talk. Your pastor loves you. God bless you.